And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
Here's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Glovers Cast, the only podcast dedicated to the team that is now 7 points clear at the top of National League with a game in hand after an enthralling 0-0 draw at Slough Town. Here to talk about that is a man who didn't make the journey, Mr. David Coates.
I did not. I did not make the journey. I did not listen to it on the radio. I have seen... I'm going to ring the trade descriptions authorities about the word highlights, but a highlight's reel on Slough's YouTube. But that's about all I've got to offer, which sounds like it might be enough.
I think a large the large part in your lack of attendance was probably just to totally clear up this whole jinx conversation. And I think it's fair to say that we got a point away, so we can't clear that up just yet.
Well, last time I went to a game, we won. So just put that out there.
And a man who was there, a hardy soul, who made a trip to the grounds of a school to watch the game, is Mr. Elliot Watts. Welcome back.
Good evening. How are you?
Sunday service resumed. Watts here.
Three in a row. I'm looking for my league winner's medal now. I think we're getting somewhere into that territory. I can't play Sunday, Thursday, so nice bit of squad rotation going on there.
We're managing your minutes, Watsy.
You don't want the other podcast to come tapping me out. That's
well, we don't want you to burn out. That's what it is, isn't it? But use your care.
If you get injured, that's it. Season's over. How was your afternoon in Slough, Elliot? We've both watched the highlights, but you were there in person. It sounds like from some of the tweets and the comments I've heard, it sounds like a lot of people watching the highlights would have seen a lot of the match for the first time.
Yeah. Slough was a interesting ground. They segregated the home and away fans and put us on the side of the pitch for the first half. So if you were looking at the ground, it was on the left-hand side. 469 Yeovil fans, I think the number was. Pretty good numbers again. The view wasn't great, though, at what was basically could only be described as the equivalent of Buckler's Mead. The view from that side stand in the first half wasn't great. So could have probably done with watching the highlights that one back myself as well, if I'm honest. But the second half, they moved us behind the goal. So it was a much better view, but not a lot to talk about still.
Did you need to either be a giraffe or Marcus Duncombe to be able to see over everybody's heads?
Yeah, either of those would have been absolutely fine. I managed to shimmy myself up towards the bar for a little bit of the first half, though, so I could see enough.
Yeah, I was quite impressed. Marcus's five conclusions that he did for us on the website. And then I realised, first half, a man of his size is going to be able to see everything, isn't he? He's going to be like literally towering above everybody.
Yeah. For those who've not met Marcus, he's very tall.
He is a very tall man.
I wouldn't have guessed.
the highlights didn't give, didn't show a lot because there wasn't a lot. But I suppose if we talk about the pre-match and what happened before the game, we made a couple of signings, one of which on Friday night and one Saturday morning, or was announced on Saturday morning, but was completed very late, close to the deadline. Mark Cooper gave a lot of credit to Kirsty Baker, the club secretary, in his pre-match to sort of say we got it over the line. It was like 10 to 5 or 10 to 6, I think, the evening before to get him registered in time for the game in Jamari Clark. And then the fullback who signed, Brooklyn Gensini. Is that what we're going with? We'll go with that.
Gensini, yeah, I'm going to go.
Yeah, Gensini. Yeah. Obviously, Gensini is a fullback from Yeovil, born in Yeovil, but has went to Bournemouth and is on loan from Swindon. A local lad, but he was in a right wing back, so it was a switch to a back five. What were your thoughts on Brooklyn Gentini's first start for Yeovil?
Yeah, I think he got going pretty well, to be honest, yesterday. He looked like he could move the ball up the pitch and sort of probably, I would say fits into a back five, maybe a little bit better than a four. Yeah, but I think he hit the ground running. He got 90 in as well yesterday. And it's cover for a position that we need cover for at the moment. I think probably suggests to us that we're not going to see Smith anytime soon, potentially for the rest of the season. Otherwise, we might have gone for that square peg in a round hole. I'm not sure, but I wouldn't imagine we're bringing the player in on loan if we're going to see him in the next week or whatever. And obviously, if we were to, we've probably got a hard weekend after Braintree where we've got Friday and Monday straight off the bat. It's an area that we've sort of lacked that little bit of covering, shall we say. We saw Folston go in there. We saw Worthington go in there. That's happened a couple of times this season. Defensively, we're probably thinnest on the ground as well, I would say. We've had that quite structured back four. But the minute one of those takes a knock, it's really hard to sort of fill the space now as well, especially after we let James Hendles-White go. So, yeah, I wasn't really surprised to see that signing. And it means Worthington can get back into his preferred position as well.
Yeah, but before the match, Mark Cooper said that Michael Smith will be out for a few weeks. But, you know, that's sort of how long is a piece of string territory in terms of an injury.
And we're in that sort of time of the season now. The gap is getting smaller. We'll talk about that in a minute, where I don't think we can be relying on players to cover that sort of role for the next few weeks. So by the time Michael Smith might be back, we'd hopefully be aiming to have it wrapped up by then.
Yeah, you'd certainly hope so. You'd certainly hope so. We had a question from Dan Johnson. I think Gensini did the post-match and said he was happy to be back in Yeovil and it felt like the right move. Dan wonders, is it someone we should be targeting to secure on a permanent basis for next season? And is he going to learn from Smith and that and help us in the league above? It might be a bit too early to say whether you saw enough from him, Watsy, but what do you think?
I think we need to see a little bit more before we make that kind of decision. He looked absolutely fine yesterday. He did a really good job where he was placed. Just got on with the work, to be honest. But yeah, I'd say it's a little bit too soon to be saying bring him in for next season, though he does come from a couple of leagues above. So potentially that is a target that we'd be looking for. And realistically, you don't get to see a lot of permanent signings beforehand anyway. So we've got that bit of luxury with a few weeks left to hopefully decide if that's one we wouldn't target for ahead of next season.
And he has played a few games, hasn't he, for Swindon this season. I know none of them, I think end of February might have been the last time he played. But he's presumably somebody that they see maybe not as a regular substitute, certainly not a regular starter, but that'll play a factor in it as well, I thought.
Yeah, definitely.
On paper, it's like the Mark Cooper signing from sort of this season, isn't it? Local-ish, in terms of that he was born and raised here as well, so presumably family's still around. And I think what were Mark Cooper's words at the presser on Thursday? He only wanted to sign players who absolutely wanted to play for Yeovil in the next 7 games. So there's one, and then obviously a second one arrives on Saturday morning in Jamari Clark, and I think my first thoughts when I saw the video of him was like, what an absolute unit. Not quite ready from the start, but came off the bench and sounded from what was on the radio that he was quite bright when he came off the bench.
Yeah, he was pretty lively, actually. I wasn't expecting him to be that sort of big and strong and imposing. And we got there and they were sort of warming up at the side of the pitch. The Yeovil fans were on, and it did strike me just how physically imposing he was. He's obviously not fit and ready to get straight off the mark. And we had Fisher and Nubler up top to start with, which again isn't a combination we've really seen this year. But it does stand out now that we've got three pretty similar players, or at least similar sort of stature, maybe lacking that number nine, to be honest. But it'd be interesting to see sort of after he's trained with the team a little bit, got settled into the area a little bit more as well, sort of what role he's going to play over the next month.
Yeah, and I think one of the things Mark Cooper said before, hand as well, which is kind of a, another thing that we've had where we've kind of signed players that he has some sort of knowledge of or connection with. And Ian Weston, who works at the club, worked with Clark at Forest Green in last season. So he's come with that recommendation from someone who Mark Cooper obviously trusts as well. And yeah, like I like the point you made there that we've got two or three now quite big centre forwards who will provide competition and perhaps put a bit of pressure on each other as well.
He looked pretty fast, I must say, for quite a unit. He looked like he had a bit of pace behind him as well. So sometimes you look at one of those strikers and you think, oh, it's going to be a lump ball kind of setup. Maybe that's not going to be the case. Need to see a little bit more of him. A little, like I just said about Genesini as well, to really know how he's going to fit into the team. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him start next week.
Same with Ollie Thomas, isn't it? I mean, he's a big lad, but he can shift a bit when he does get moving. And
Rapid, isn't he?
he obviously wasn't there. I don't know if that was he came off on against Chippenham, didn't he? And I didn't know whether
I think he,
artificial pitch as well.
yeah, I think it was said pre-match. I haven't heard it, but I'm sure it said pre-match that he had a bit of a knock to his knee as well. Maybe the same injury that he was carrying before. I didn't think he looked 100% last Tuesday night either. So maybe, like myself, it's a bit of minute management, Dave.
Were you surprised about the team lineup? I was sat in the stands at Accrington Stanley on Saturday, and
Who
nobody
are
wanted
they?
to talk. Exactly.
What a curveball that was.
Nobody wanted to talk to me about why Sonny Blue Low Everton wasn't playing. They were a bit like they thought I was predicting the weather or something. But yeah, I was a bit surprised not to see him in Sonny, because I mean, for my money, he's been one of our better players, even in this fairly poor runner. I could understand Jordan Young because he's been a bit off colour, but I was a bit surprised not to see Sonny in the middle there.
See, I wasn't so surprised at either of those. I'm sure it probably jumps out the page more about Jordan Young because he's got this bit of an air around him that he's one of our better players. And at the start of the season, I'd 100% agree, but last few weeks, he's not been on it. And I think Sonny Blue's been in a sort of similar position. Sonny's one of those players, don't know what you both think, but in his time here and in his time here previously, he needs that sort of run of games in the team and then a week or two out to then sort of hit the form again. I think you sort of get four or five really good games out of him and then he does start to drop off. And that is a pattern that I think has been glaringly obvious for Sonny in both of his spells here, that maybe he struggles with that sort of continuous game time and does need to sort of be taken out, maybe just to sort of give him a little bit of a kick. And maybe a little bit of a rest as well.
Yeah, I reckon part of that is that he's more suited to a three in midfield, and obviously it was Worthy and Cooper as sort of two with because it was kind of like a five. What was it? 5-2-3. Nublé, Fisher. Oh yeah, and
Yeah, you got Stevens kind of in front of them.
Stevens was kind of in behind, wasn't he? Yeah. And I think you want as a pair. I mean, it's always going to be Worthy and Cooper as a pair, it feels like, when you're playing a back five. Let's talk about the back five. Obviously, wing backs, yuck. But how was it? Was it the redemption of Jay Falston after playing at right back and having a bit of a torrid time last weekend? How did he get on in a more familiar position?
I think the whole game, I used the word nondescript to sum it up on Twitter last night. It was a little bit like they did a job. They were pretty solid. Nothing. I think they makes one save that I can really recall. But they weren't getting ran at. Folkestone looked a little bit shaky at the start, I felt. Maybe settled into it a bit more as the game sort of went on. But yeah, I don't love setting up with five at the back either, if I'm honest, it'd be perky. And yeah, they just did a job. They did a job. Yeah. And that was all you could really say about most of the team yesterday, to be honest.
Yeah, Mark Cooper just described it after the game. He said, we needed to be solid.
And yeah, they were solid.
Happy to nick a point. And it felt like, he sort of said, because of the way that we'd been playing before and the confidence is wobbled a little bit, it was very much a case of getting out of the game with something and hopefully nicking a goal and trying to get something. That sort of what it felt like in that sort of nothing nondescript game. It was very much us sort of arm's length and then hoping for something at the top.
They never really threatened us that much, to be honest. Even sort of one of those games, you get towards 80 minutes, you think, oh, this could be shaky. Never felt that way. It just sort of petered out and the whole game just sort of petered, for want of a better word, maybe trundled along a little bit with not great happening for either team, no real threats. The back five did the job of the back five before, and later in the game they swapped back to a four. I think it's when Whittle goes off. And was it Pierce? No, Pierce Young came on
Pearson
for Whittle.
Did come on, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. Young came on for Whittle. But yeah, across the board they didn't do amazingly. There was no real stinkers out there. And yeah, back to the original question, they did all right at the back.
Probably worth mentioning as well, Dave, that, you know, Slower haven't lost in 15 games. They've not lost at home. And, you know, it's quite a happy hunting ground for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I was talking to Richard from the supporters club when he was happily telling us about how we got a whole side all to yourself. I did think about that when I saw how happy he was for it. But then I did see the Supporters Association tweeted, whoever decided to move the Yeovil fans behind the goal, very good common sense used there. But no, and he was talking there about a couple of their players. And I was going to ask Watsy how some of them went, because David Bonner, beg your pardon, and Scott Davis in midfield were a couple of players who he picked out. I could see from the highlights that Davis was kind of doing what he does. He banged a free kick high wide, not so handsome. But, yeah. But did they look any great shakes from what you could see, given their form? And
I didn't think they looked too badly. I thought both teams sort of just nullified each other a little bit across the pitch. There were a few tussles and battles in midfield. No, it was 4G pitch. They weren't flying in with tackles and whatnot. I'm sure no one wants to do that on a 4G pitch, to be honest. But there was some scraps in the middle of the pitch. I think going on their home form as well, which is absolutely unbelievable. If we hadn't lost those two games beforehand, we're having a different conversation today. Completely, realistically, a great point. It's just because the two losses beforehand, the gap getting that sort of little bit smaller, people start to panic towards the back end of the season. Everyone just wants this wrapped up and done, don't they? And I think that's probably where some of the grumbles on Twitter and that sort of come from, because actually, if you're going somewhere where they haven't lost at home since September, is it? Like, yeah. That's just ridiculous. Going there and coming with a point.
It's not much different than coming to Hewish Park and leaving with something. And obviously, that's only happened, you know, this last week where two teams have taken 3 points each. So, yeah, But do you, I mean, Dave, you've been refusing to believe since day one.
I've been refusing to believe. I've just been refusing to get
publicly
carried.
Believe.
No. I've just been refusing to be this steadfast. That's it. It's done. We've got it in the bag. And I don't necessarily think it's that. Well, it's certainly not that I'm overly superstitious about these kind of things. But and this sounds like the world's biggest footballing cliche, doesn't it? It's never over till it's over. And in this division, you are going to have teams that are going to try and stop you playing, and that's what we've seen with Welling. That's what we saw with Chippenham. You know, they did a job on us, and we have some very good players, but once we lose a few of those very good players, which is always going to happen, we're all going to have a spell where we lost some important players, and I think we are really feeling the loss of Murphy and Hyde now, and that was always going to come back and get us. And I think when I was refusing to believe, it was maybe the thinking it's gonna come at some point. At some point, it's gonna come. Obviously, I didn't want it to ever, but I particularly didn't want it to now. But I'm not losing my head over anything. It's 7 points with a game in hand, and as we know, a game in hand is three points nailed on. So that's 10 points. There's still no team in this division that wouldn't swap places with us. No team.
What would be really nice is next weekend, Chelmsford have got Taunton, haven't they?
Yeah.
It would be stunning for them not to play, us to go to Braintree and beat them and know exactly where we stand. It's effectively using our game in hand before we have to go out to Truro and play that game. That would tell us exactly where we stand over the coming weeks. And if we could go to Braintree and get 3 points next week, and they don't play, the outlook on the next six games after that looks entirely different, doesn't it?
Can I just say, we talk about Taunton's pitch, but have you seen Braintree's pitch?
No.
That is equally agricultural, shall we say. And speaking to a friend of mine who lives about 5 minutes' drive away from it, has told me that it has not stopped raining there all weekend. She has promised he's going to do a sun dance for me this Monday, but yeah, it's so I'm not saying that we're unlikely to be playing at this early stage, but yeah.
Are either of you concerned that we're having, you know, this, we've had a great run, we're clear, and are you concerned that we've kind of fallen off a little bit? And we're having to go into games like the weekend, setting up to, you know, stay solid and nick a point. Like, is that, are you concerned that as, you know, as champions elect, we should be going, you know, and smashing teams on our way to victory sort of thing?
I think it's exactly what we needed to do, wasn't it? Because we've had two games where they're human beings at the end of the day, footballers, aren't they? And they're going to have the confidence kicked out of them by those two games. We just needed a game, which was for, you know, it's a good job that I didn't make the journey that far, but we needed a game which was completely non-eventful. I mean, no, we didn't. We needed a game where we won 4-0, but to have a game that was non-eventful and solid against a decent side with a decent home record, that's gonna give some kind of confidence. So, what do you call it when you're down the pub? A settler, yeah. Before you hit the shots. So the next few, we're just gonna be like Jaegers all the way, I think.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm. Yeah, there's that little bit of worry, anxiousness. I'm sure any fans feeling that at the moment. However, you take that little dip now to over the next few weeks sort of get flying again. I think where we're probably seeing the real issue come to fruition is we've been relying on goals from all over the pitch. So for the last 3 or 4 months, and then at the point we lost Murphy as well, there onwards, you sort of mentioned that we did get away with it for a little while because Jordan Young would pop in with a goal or someone else would sort of pop up and put the ball in the net. And they are drying up a little bit, or they've They've grown up massively over last four games, to be honest. I think we've scored one goal in four games, is it? Yeah, won one in six. So, yeah, that's where we're sort of finding ourselves out a little bit here, is that we're not having those other players chipping in with the goals that we're sort of seeing that was helping us get by. And yesterday felt like I didn't really know where it was going to come from. But then we brought in two new signings, one of which plays up top. If we can get Clark firing, then should be all right.
Yeah, that's what you're hoping, isn't it? Is that bit of spark. And I think Thomas, from what we've seen of him, well, obviously he started and he came on in the other game. He looks like someone who can have that bit of a spark. And yeah, the two of them, not you want to put too much pressure on an 18-year-old and a 20-year-old, but the two of them could lift the rest of us. So maybe Genesini as well could be one who perhaps doesn't have any baggage with him and can give us a bit of a spark.
Agreed. There was a couple of questions on Facebook. Kevin Ash said, I don't understand the negativity. We are 7 points clear, a game in hand. Your thoughts, please. You will no doubt have covered it during your podcast. well, and that's Tim Hubble said, go on.
That's the thing, though. We are 7 points clear. Like, right, with seven games to go, Chelmsford have got six to go. They're going to... Something drastic's going to have to happen there, right? For that gap to completely disappear. It's like a swing of almost three games over that. And yeah, we've probably seen that over the last four, to be honest, but I don't know. I think we've got enough to have it done before the last game of the season here. And one win will get them going again.
Go on, Tim Hubble says.
Tim Hubble says, I know this might be an unpopular question, but with some, but it surely must be in many supporters' thinking, with no wins and two defeats in our last four games and only one goal, are we bottling it? There, I said it.
Well, I don't think this is bottling it. This is a wobble. If we lost yesterday, then you could say three on the spin, then that, you know, that might not be bottling it, but it would feel very much like it. I think a point, although everyone will say, oh, well, it's only 7 points now. Again, I'll keep going back to, there's no team in this division that wouldn't swap places with us. And you look at Chelmsford, you look at Worthing. Chelmsford have lost a couple recently. Worthing have just fallen away by the looks of it. It's the teams below them that you want to think about. And worryingly, one of them is Braintree. But there are those teams from sort of fourth down to seventh. They're the ones that are having a real run of form. Hampton have put a few wins together, but yeah, the top three, none of them seem to be doing aren't winning consistently, shall we say.
Parky, what are you thinking? Are we bottling it?
No, I don't think so. I think it's down to the goal scoring, and I think there were games where we had so many chances and we should have put, you know, four in easily. And just the recently, there's not been that number of clear-cut chances. And it's like we just seem to struggle to make the chances at the moment. I don't think it's bottling it. I think it's just a little bit of a rough patch that, you know, after this weekend, hopefully we play through it and, you know, start playing football again. You know, maybe no one described Jordan Young as being dropped, but I think after his performance on Tuesday night, I would probably say it was a drop in, because, you know, you wouldn't go into many games without Jordan Young starting unless he'd really fallen off a cliff, which, yeah, I thought he was poor on Tuesday. So hopefully that lights a bit of a fire under him. Going into the weekend,
he's not been the same since the new contract, has he? He didn't come off the bench yesterday looking like he was chasing it and going to go after it. I really do hope that he does get that sort of spark back into him that he had back in maybe November, December time, because I don't really feel like he's looked the same player since his new contract. And that does go back to the point that you just made about the goals coming, the chances coming. Those chances aren't coming so much. So the one or two goals we were scoring aren't coming so much either.
Yeah.
Mark Cooper was asked about it on Thursday before the press conference. He went about Jordan Young and made the point that if Jordan Young was like he was in November, consistently throughout the season, he'd probably be playing in the League One opposed to in National League South. But there's still that player is still in there, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, hopefully him being dropped, which I would agree that I think that's probably what it was. One thing I was going to ask was, what did Alex Whittle's injury look like?
Yeah, rough.
Did it?
Yeah, it was just a challenge, but I don't know if he was very ginger when he walked off, really gingerly came off the pitch. I was just going to mention that now myself, because you hope that that's not a long period of time. We've just brought in one fullback cover. I don't know if we could keep covering it fullback in different places now. And Whittle's been a really unsung hero this season, hasn't he? Every time he's not been in the side, we've sort of struggled to fill his place. He's been in and out a little bit over the last couple of weeks, I would say. I think he had an illness and then he went down on the Tuesday night game as well and came off. He has been a little bit in and out over the last couple of weeks, but that one yesterday looked a little bit different to that. It definitely looked a little bit different to the Tuesday night game where he got subbed fairly early. I just hope that, that's not something long-term, because it's not a headache you need right now, to be honest.
No, I think it's less of a headache with having Jay Falston now, but it's also one of those where, like you said, he's been an unsung hero, Alex Whittle, and has been so consistent that it's quite difficult to match. I think Mark Cooper did say afterwards that he was hopeful that he'd be back next week, but I think he's always more optimistic immediately after a game when we're obviously without having the full picture of what the injury is. And a player like Whittle, and the same for Michael Smith, players like that, experienced enough and have played enough games and know themselves well enough to know when they need to come off because they're not, not able to see it out or don't want to do more damage. So I think, the fact that he did come off was, a bit of a concern.
It was also one of them pitches as well, wasn't it? So you wouldn't want to take the risk.
Yeah. You didn't. Your man from the supporters club, Dave, told us it was a good pitch.
That's what he said. He said it was pretty consistent, was it not?
It was all right. It was fine as 3 G's go, I would say.
Mark Cooper said it wasn't a good one, I don't think.
Didn't
they? Have any of them been good this year, though? Every week we come away from a 3G pitch going, it was bobbly. You could see it going up and down. You could see the balls coming out of the pitch.
Dorchester's was good. We won 5-0 on that one.
let's see what he thinks about the cabbage patch at Braintree.
I wanted to ask about Jordan Stevens, because bit of a different role for him more centrally. I think before he got his injury at Torquay, it felt like we had a player who was about to really hit his stride and had come back from injury and was making quite a big impact. Doesn't feel like he's made that same impact since he's come back from injury, and he's kind of been shifted out wide, and I think he's played on the left as well. How did he do centrally? Did he have the sort of impact you'd want from him there?
No, but I don't think that's his greatest position, to be honest. I don't think anything central suits him that much. I much prefer him on the wing, running at teams, getting balls into the box. He's not managed to get going again since his injury, though, has he? And every time he sort of gets a little bit of a chance, it's a little bit frustrating. He's had some chances at Hughes Park to put the ball in the net, and you think, oh, if he gets a goal or whatever, he'll be really up and going. He did okay yesterday, but okay is the word of the match, isn't it, to be honest? So Yeah, I mean, I don't think his performance is any reason to sort of scoff at him or whatnot, but I really think there's a good player in there. I rate Jordan Stevens massively, and if you can keep him fit and really get him going, then I think he'll be absolutely firing. But we've just not been able to do that with him this season, have we?
No, he's not been fit consistently enough to be able to see too much of him. And like you say, when he's come in, it's almost been he's either come off the bench expecting him to create something, or he's been filling in somewhere which may not be the position that he's at his optimum in. But I'd agree with you. I think he's better as a wide player than he is. I haven't really seen him much through the middle, but he seems like the perfect person for burning down the whatever flank and
He's absolutely
entry point.
rapid. He's so fast, isn't he?
Okay. Any other burning points that anyone wants to bring up from Slough, or shall I finish off with some questions?
I was going to ask, what's your question? Am I right in saying that certain Mr. R. Murphy may have been in attendance yesterday?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see him. The
Oh,
last
okay.
time I saw Murphy was after the Tunbridge
Tunbridge.
match. When he was
Sorry.
trying to fight them on the
Oh, causing a little ruckus.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. He was in his casual clothes, so he had no affiliation to YTFC at that time. I imagine there's been a lot going around over last week or so about him being really close to being back. I think said last week that some people were saying it was a week to 2 weeks before he came back. I didn't see him yesterday. I don't know if he was in the stands or over with the dugout.
Couple of people said they saw him. That's what I was asking.
In Asda.
Not in Aston. No. Out in Asda in
That's
Slough. Yeah.
the only place you see footballers if you're a
Yeah,
young fan, isn't
no.
it?
It's Slough. Do they have an Asda? More of a Waitrose kind of town, that surely, isn't it? Along the commuter belt.
I just think of it as like the office.
The
That
office,
yeah, the
yeah.
only place we went was to Wetherspoons and then to the match and then back to Wetherspoons again.
Jesus Christ, you want a depressing town, go to Accrington, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Christ on life.
No, the only other thing I was going to add was it was really good travelling numbers again yesterday. The fans really behaved themselves again and got behind the team, really backed the team. And I think that's probably one of the things that stands out this season massively is we've been on these good runs and all of that, but our away support has just been phenomenal this year. And we're going to have a real hard game next week. We absolutely want to beat Braintree, the position they're in. They're starting to creep up the table. I think they're third now, aren't they? And hopefully it's one of the further games, but that kind of support can be there again next week to sort of see them over the line. That was my comment on the fans that I just wanted. I don't know if it's sort of included in the questions or not. I did have a note to call out a couple of comments that I saw on Twitter about Cooper needing to take the blame because he does it when we win and takes the praise. I did want to call that out today because I don't think that's necessarily a fair thing to say. I think Cooper does stand back from the celebrations when we win. He always praises the team. There's this sort of thing around there at the moment, and I'm not here to back him up or whatever, but there's this thing going around that he's setting us up negatively. I just think across the pitch we're not firing at the moment, and I don't think a manager needs to come out and say that's all entirely my fault.
When we win, if anything, he's even more critical. I
Yeah.
think we win. He's like, well, we didn't win by enough. We should have scored loads more. It's like,
Yeah, I know. I think the
yeah,
other thing
I.
is that if he's if it, it whenever he's just walks off or he doesn't really, everyone's like, oh, he didn't even thank the fans for being there. And it's like, you know, managers, isn't it? Football managers, they can't win. But That's the easiest target comment for a football fan to say, though, isn't it? Ah, oh, they didn't come over and clap the away end.
yeah,
Ugh, get them
2 weeks
gone.
ago he was shaking their hands after Avely on like a Monday night as well. It's like, I think it's very much about who it's like the individual rather than the general feeling. And you know, I think probably since day one, people have had a bit of a bee in their bonnet about Cooper. But when it comes to the end of the season and we've won the league.
Don't say it.
You know,
get on with your questions,
be,
you.
Hopefully that'll be put to bed, but it just doesn't feel like it will ever be. I don't know.
When we win the league in front of 1,800 fans at Weymouth.
Well, okay, some questions. I'm going to segue. So Ryan Crouch has asked on Facebook, and this is because you went to Spoons on Saturday, Watsy. Toby Carvery or Spoons?
Spoons. 100%.
Yeah. I think if you're eating, which is the only reason why you go to Toby Carvery, surely, I prefer the variety of a Wetherspoons, to be honest with you.
We went to two Wetherspoons yesterday. We went to one in Reading as well.
Blimey. The Wetherspoons tour of Berkshire.
Were you looking for Jamari Clark?
Yeah.
That was quite close to game. Maybe he met up with the team that day, actually. I hadn't thought of that one.
Yeah. Ryan also asked, what's an acceptable points return for the next three games? So the next three are Braintree away, Torquay at home, and Weymouth away.
9, obviously.
That's an acceptable return. I will accept 9 points.
I will accept no less than 9 points. I don't know.
Take seven, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'd be happy with a point at Braintree. Torquay, you'd like to think we're going to go and give them a bit of a beating just because of, I mean, what did they lose at the weekend? 3-0, was it, at the weekend?
4-1, wasn't it? Was it 3-0? I thought it was 4-1. I don't know.
Might have been. Split the difference.
They lost.
They lost at the weekend. And then if we go, I mean, the last time we went to Weymouth, it was a dire 0-0, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The highlight was Luke Wilkinson. I think someone threw a pint over Luke Wilkinson.
That was class. Forgot that.
they got chased out the back of the stand, didn't they? Into whatever that wasteland is behind.
That's Weymouth.
Yeah.
That's the beach, actually. No, it's way out of town.
Okay, so between 7 and 9 is acceptable.
That Weymouth Torquay weekender is much harder than people are giving it credit for at the moment. I think both of them are going to be fired up for playing us. It's going to be a tricky weekend, yeah. I think.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's definitely where you need to. A fervent crowd behind you.
Dan Cabell would like to know, who's your favourite Yeovil player never to make first team appearance?
I saw this question and I can't think of a single player who's never made a first team appearance. How do you know they're a good player or if they've never made a first team appearance? Can you think of any?
Did Alistair Slow ever get on? Was it him?
I don't think so. Surely not. Not in a real game.
Well, no, maybe in a friendly game or something.
Who's that other one? Craig Calver. I think he got a game. Brighton away, it stands out that he got on the pitch.
This is the type of question that Ben will be screaming at, because Ben will have like a team of 11 that his favourite.
Alfie Lloyd played a SPC game, I think, and then he went on to play for QPR and obviously done well on loan at Eastleigh. Maybe, But if they've never played a first team game, I'm not sure how you can.
Who is the one? Didn't we sign someone's son once? He's gone on to be a manager now.
Charlie Cooper.
No.
Lee Johnson.
Danny Webb.
Did he have,
yeah, he played
did
for
he
us
play?
A couple of times, yeah, didn't he? Yeah. He played. He played for us in two different spells.
Yeah.
I think there's probably some that played like hardly any. Like, I always remember, so when we signed Pablo Bastianini and we signed his mate, Luciano Alvarez, who was like better.
Yeah, a lot
it felt
better.
Like he was better. Yeah. He was like there because he needed some company, I think.
He was the translator, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was actually the translator. So I'm looking and it looks like Ali Slow never made an appearance for us as a first team player.
It comes to something when you're picking Ali Slow as your favourite anything, I think. But,
yeah. Went on to play a couple of stints at Iron Upper, mind. So that looks like a good place to play some football.
Blimey. That is Jaegers all the way, isn't it?
We were asked a couple of weeks ago, we were asked about our worst team. I don't know if anyone's done the homework, but I've scribbled down a worst 11.
Me and Jess were trying this earlier and couldn't really get there in the end. So,
I've got some. Okay. It's a 4-4-2 diamond. Dylan Barnes in goal.
Yeah, had him.
Daniel Alfie at right back. Omar at centre back.
Had him.
Stefan Stam.
Yeah, he was pretty awful when he was named captain and then did a wreck on the first game, didn't he?
Got a red card, didn't he?
Red card, that's right, he did.
I've got Ryan Burke at left back. Ryan Burke, we had him on loan from Birmingham.
Oh, yeah, he got sent off, did he?
Yeah, he loved the yellow. Yeah, I don't know if he got sent off, but he loved the yellow, but he was crap. the base of midfield, I got Connor Smith.
He was in the Smith 11 as well.
I've got James Bailey.
Oh, yeah, he was awful. And he was a captain as well, wasn't he? You got some captains in here, haven't you? Stefan Stam, Omar, and James Bailey. Leaders, legends. I've got
Fraser Fivey. Last about 20 minutes, didn't he, before he got taken off?
Yeah, good shout. That is a really good shout, actually.
I've got Wes Fogden in behind in the number 10.
Never looked like he should be a footballer.
No. And up front, I've got Jordy Hewler and Michael Ngu. Now, Hewler's gone on to do quite well. Yeah. But when we had him, he couldn't.
I'd have put Mark Beck in there.
You literally took the words out of my mouth there, Casey. Yeah. The other one that we had was Ben Nugent went into the defence as well.
Yes, he was a bit crap too.
A couple for the oldies that I'm not sure the two of you might remember, but we had one game where we had a guy called Keith Harvey who played in goal, and he was the brother of a centre-half we had at the time called Lee Harvey. And that was literally the reason why he was playing because I think Tony Pennock was injured. And Graham Roberts said, "We're really stuck with Keith." And he goes, "Oh, I'll ring my brother." And he played. I think it was like a cup game or something. He played, and he literally looked like somebody's brother who come on the pitch. But yeah, I'd have to put him in there. And Graham Kemp, I'd throw in there as well. But might be a bit old.
Is he in Spandau Ballet?
Graham Kemp, yeah, he was the lesser brother. He just made sure the microphones were high up. Yeah, if Paul Hadlow's listening, and I know he won't be, but he would be screaming Graham Kemp. He hated him. Went to a game on a Friday night in Halifax. Graham Kemp got booked, and Paul started shouting off because he was that keen for him to get off the pitch. But yeah. And then scored an absolute worldie in the FA Trophy at Worcester. Heady days.
Gone into the archives there, aren't you, Dave?
Joey Chinnock, if you three were part of the football team lineup, what positions would you all play?
This one came up last week as well. I prepped for this one last week. Right wing for me.
Notes.
I'll set it up. You finish it off. Left back.
Okay, in left back. Wing back.
No, in the changing rooms, you're supposed to say.
I could see it unregistered.
I just don't want Dave. Dave always gets out of these types of questions because he says, "Oh, I'm bloody useless."
Well, I'd be centre forward. I would be the Reece Murphy of this team. Just be the fox in a box. That's what I'd be.
Okay, and I'll be the number 10.
Very attacking trio.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah, we've got no one.
No one wants to do the dirty work at the back.
What shirt numbers do you want? Should we all go really high just to wind up Ben?
98 and 99. Yeah. Accrington Stanley had the number 55 playing up front, which would have blown Ben's mind. So I'll be 55, please. My age as well.
I'll just take 7 because that's everyone's dream to play with a 7, isn't it?
I'm going to go for number 13 because it's the backup goalkeeper and I always used to wear number 13.
Soko was 13, wasn't he? Was he 13? This is another
I think
one
he might be.
Another one where we need Ben, but yeah.
Okay, and who's in the rest of our team? So Dave's up front. Watts is right wing. I'm in the number 10. So
Duncan centre half, definitely.
No, we're picking Yeovil Town.
Oh, Yeovil
fans, are we?
Can we not do this with fans instead? That sounds very decent.
Yeah, people would have to know which fans we're talking about. Oh, well, we're going to need some quality around it. I think I'm going to be up. I'm going to need someone who's going to like Jevo up front with me, I think.
Okay.
Oh, with Perky playing in behind you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're the... trickery.
So Watts is more of a right midfielder rather than a right winger. Yeah, you've been pushed back.
I've lost my place. I've gone into a central three. Maybe a diamond.
We're just going all out attack here. I've got Mackindo in there. Gavin Williams is in as well.
You're just
me and Gav are number 10.
It's going to be a very fluid forward line. This is why I should never be a manager.
I think we need a tall, mostly centre backs across the back four. Blockwood, Skivo, Fontaine, and Colin Miles.
Fontaine?
Yeah, tall centre backs.
Not going like Colker or Duffy or Byrne. Can't imagine
it's gone Fontaine.
Taller centre back than Dan Byrne.
It's on the team sheet now.
Do you know why? I've gone Fontaine because I saw at the weekend he's retired this weekend.
Oh, is he?
And he posted a long statement. And I thought, oh, yeah, Liam Fontaine.
He went on to play for City, didn't he? Yeah?
A bit of an underrated player, actually. A little bit forgotten.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was at Hibs.
Yeah, he was at Hibs.
And who's in goal?
I'd always have Marek in goal.
Oh, I was going to go Stetch.
Yeah, there we go.
Hang on, unless I've fallen behind because Dave just started chatting out random numbers. We've got Stetching goal, Lockwood, Skibbo, Fontaine, Miles, Elliot on the right midfield. And then I've just got a front three of Perky, Cates and Jevo.
There you go.
No, I think he's dropped Gavin Williams and Mackindo in there. So I think that's 12.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I just shouted names. I'm the Matt Ugler of football managers. Chuck them all in there.
I can't even turn this into a formation right now.
There is no formation. It's fluid. Just put them on a pitch and let them do what they like. It's like Barcelona in the Pep era.
Like when you go all out attacking on Football Manager.
Yeah, just go for it. Go for it. Goals, goals, goals. People will love it.
I'll tell you what,
rubbish Yeovil, that's what we'll call it.
It did make me laugh last week when they were in training like really early on Wednesday morning after the night before. Made me think of Football Manager when I could be like 13 points clear at the top of the table. But if we lose a game, extra training tomorrow, 14 of the squad are unhappy. And Michael Smith's really pleased that I'm keeping the standards up.
Yeah, you set standards. You've got to adhere to them. Yeah. I've just finished my first season. I've won the league and the FA Trophy. Doing all right. Anyway, last one here from Lily White Glover. If you could bring in one former Yeovil Town legend for the run-in, who would you go for to get us over the line?
We need goals. We need a fox in the box. Got to be Phil Jevons.
So is Phil Jevons just always the answer tonight?
No, Howard Boring is usually always the answer. So I'm trying to mix it up. To be fair, last time we were at this level, Howard Thornton was the man we brought us in. He scored something like 25 goals in 23 games. So there's a man you need. There you go. Change your mind, sir. Howard Thornton, please.
He took himself round.
I think Gav Williams or Kevin Gore, actually.
That's two players. You can't have two players.
Oh, I said one or the other.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go with the answer is always Warren Pamel.
I don't know, after Fisher's goal against against Chippenham. I wonder who he might be unleashing. Is it in a one of Rory Patmore? Is it a
so not one? Only not only have we got four big strikers, now we're bringing in another one. <That's it.
laughs> 25 years later, it's always Warren Patmore.
We're going to be sat here next week with Warren Patmore in the team going, don't know why they keep going for these big strikers up top. We've got five of them now.
We'll be lumping it forward and they'll be moaning. Get it on the floor!
Get on it, Patmore!
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest backpedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis! He could win it! He probably has won it for Yeovil!
Oh, and it's an opening goal! What a start! Maddon, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead!
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!